To the show. I was just singing along because that's what I like to do. This is National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the cryogenic conservator for free speech. Cryogenic, that's where they freeze things and just keep them in a state of frozen, suspended animation until a cure is found, and then they get unfrozen. And that's what we're doing with free speech. That's what, you know, people think this is like some sort of polar vortex. No, this is RBN. It's got free speech down in Texas, and it is deep freezing it until we figure out a cure and can get it back to the rest of the country. That's what this is all about. People are completely misunderstanding. But if you want to keep free speech alive, you will go to republicbroadcasting.org and you'll click on the donate button and you'll send a donation. Also, you want that cryogenic deep freeze to be kosher, non-kosher certified. You don't want a kosher free speech. No, you don't. It's a contradiction in terms. So go to nationalbugle.com. I just spent like hours updating it. So lots and lots of new articles and a few old articles that had fallen through the cracks too. It's all updated. And also you've got the co-certified app, which you can download for your Android phone, $2.99, or you can use the free online version. And you too can lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, which is everything you want to be. Non-kosher certified. All right. So today, this is a live show, you might have noticed already. And so I will take callers. I'm gonna talk story for a little while. But it has a call-in number. It's 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. Or for the non 1-800 challenged, there is a, what would that be? 800-313-9443. All right. But I tell you what, I've got this thing going with Tucker Carlson, right? As many of you know, I challenged him to a cage match. And because, you know, I do have special permission to call him a fag. But that's not why. It's because, you know, he was nowhere to be found. He was completely missing in action with his stolen election, right? And then blaming all of our kosher problems on the Chinese. Look, Chinese food isn't kosher, all right? And now, okay, so I stopped listening because it just, like, it wasn't fun anymore. I wasn't getting anything out of it. But I did turn him on last night, and he's got this whole monologue about wind turbines. And I know he's been dismissive of wind turbines in the past. But then, you know, this, he was tying it into, oh, it's part of, like, the brutal Chinese agenda for freezing the United States. Excuse me. I'm not quite exactly sure what his angle is, but really going off on it. And there's a couple things I want to get straight before I go to whatever callers might want to talk to me. First of all, well, no, I'll say second of all, so I'll get to that second, is the whole global climate change thing. But first of all, wind turbines, okay? Now, there are a lot of people that you'll hear in our section of the internet who are very, not just dismissive of wind turbines. I heard Mike Enoch, who is actually a smart guy. Sometimes you wouldn't guess from some of the things he says, like this. He was saying that wind turbines require more energy to produce than they will ever create in their in their lifetime. It's like, okay, a turbine, I mean, all except for solar cells, all of the electricity that we're getting comes from turbines. And so why is it so much more, I mean, why would it be so energy intensive to create a turbine for a for a wind tower as opposed to a gas or coal or nuclear or any other kind of hydroelectric, any other kind of turbine? These are all turbines, okay? Slightly different designs, but it's the same basic concept. So that, I mean, that was obviously retarded because the wind turbine, the infrastructure that it sits atop, the little tower that it sits atop, is far simpler than a nuclear power plant. All of the infrastructure that is required to house the nuclear reactor that heats up the water. I mean, nuclear reactor, what does it do? It boils water, and it doesn't even boil water very high, very hot. Coal and gas plants produce much higher temperature steam, which has a higher thermal efficiency in terms of producing electricity than nuclear. Why doesn't nuclear produce high temperatures? Because obviously it's got the energy. You've seen nuclear bombs. No, because the fuel would melt. That's why. And so it's got that limitation. Or not just the fuel rods would melt, the encasings would melt. So anyway, so that's ridiculous. And then when you hear anybody, whether it's Tucker last night or anybody else, making the argument that they're ugly, really? You're making the argument that they're ugly. That means you've got nothing. That means you've got nothing. If you're making the argument that they're ugly, you've got nothing. That's just an aesthetic thing, and most people don't even see them very often. You might see, if you're driving down the highway in certain parts of the country, you might pass by some. We've got cell phone towers everywhere. We've got telephone wires running everywhere. Some parts of the country, you see water towers. You're used to them. You might not give them a second thought. You got all sorts of industrial infrastructure everywhere. There's nothing. Is there something unusually ugly about wind turbines? No. It's just that. Well, I mean, really, what it is because some people on the left push them, then you get this knee-jerk reaction against them. It's just a knee-jerk reaction, and it's stupid. And we shouldn't. You shouldn't have. It's. Look, it's no more independent thinking to let AOC decide what you're for than it is to let AOC decide what you're against. And if you have a knee-jerk reaction to be against anything that she's for, then AOC is doing your thinking for you. Okay, so let's just so it really, really bothered me. And then he talked about birds. Oh, if you've ever been there, there's piles of dead birds. Oh, well, look, I've been inside these things. I've been beneath these things. I didn't see birds. Now, the whole bird thing, I know where the bird reputation comes from. In the early 1990s, when some of the first commercial wind turbines were built, it was in the Adamant Pass, is that what it's called, in California. There's Mountain Pass. It's nearby where the Rolling Stones had that big concert, where some people got trampled, Adamant, something like that. And Altamont, thank you. Okay, thank you, my trusty engineer, my Mr. T, my trusty engineer. So they, what was the difference? Well, these early turbines were put on top of lattice towers, you know, the lattice towers that you see with the electrical lines everywhere. By the way, you do see them everywhere, and you might think they're ugly. Or when I was a kid, I thought they looked kind of like giants from the Planet of the Apes, like the scarecrows from the Planet of the Apes. I thought they were pretty cool looking, frankly. But anyway, these they were on lattice towers, and lattice, you know, the steel lattice, this provides all sorts of perching opportunities for birds, even nest making opportunities for birds. And so some, you know, large birds of prey in particular were getting chummed up. And also these early turbines, they didn't have all the gearing mechanisms inside the turbine. And so they were inside, you know, the turbine casing. And so they were spinning at very, very high speeds, much higher. Like if you look at a commercial wind turbine today, it's typically about 12 RPM, maybe 15 RPM, which still is, I mean, these blades are quite long. And so if you're going to get hit by it, it's going to knock you. But the Altamont ones, the turbines were, they weren't geared the same way. And so they're really spinning fast. And so there were problems there, but the design's been changed. And so you don't have, I mean, there are way more birds are killed by flying into glass windows, getting hit by cars. And speaking of cars, if you ever go to a wind turbine, you're probably going to drive on a highway to get there. Look on the side of the highway and see what you see. You're going to see just corpse after corpse after corpse of dead woodchuck and raccoons and foxes and possums and armadillos. And I saw a bear recently, a bear and deer. And I've hit a deer. I've hit a cat. Am I a wind turbine? I don't know. But so that whole thing really, really annoyed me because I think we're just so easily manipulated. All right. Now getting to so in Texas, there have been a number of wind turbines, maybe somewhere close to half the wind turbines, maybe a third of the wind turbines, but a significant number of the wind turbines have frozen up. Now they typically don't even run all that much in the cold weather. It depends. But the brownouts, the main reasons for the brownouts, A, is this spike in demand because Texas, apparently, I mean, I've never lived in Texas, but apparently people are using electricity for heat and probably a lot of electric resistance heaters, you know, your plug-in heaters, which require a lot of electricity because you're having this massive spike in electricity usage. But then also the gas is freezing inside of the pipelines. And, you know, so the cold weather is impacting not just these wind turbines, but it's impacting all aspects of the energy production system. And I want to say something, you know, you've got turbines that operate in cold weather in northern states like Iowa's got a huge amount of wind, and you're not, and they've always operated in these kinds of conditions. And so the problems are more, have a lot more to do with Texas. But anyway, Tucker went off on this big thing. Now with the electric grid, electric consumption and electricity production have to match each other because it's really, really difficult and expensive to store electricity. So electricity storage is very difficult and very expensive, and therefore the grid managers are always trying to match production with consumption. And consumption needs fluctuate. Therefore, production needs must fluctuate. All right. You know, you tend to have when people are asleep at 2 a.m, the lights aren't on and people are asleep, you tend not to have very much. So throughout the day, You have spike. You have a spike, when people are working in offices and things like that. Throughout the week, you actually have when people are working, especially factories are going during weekdays, you're going to have more than on weekends. And then seasonally, when air conditioners are pumping in the hot months, July and August, especially in the hot parts of the country, you get a lot of usage then. Typically a lot less in the winter. But if you've got an area of the country that's usually not too cold and they're relying on electricity for heat, then you can have a big spike like what you're seeing in Texas now. So you've got, and I know I'm getting callers, but I got some things I got to get out first. So I know, so you've got to match this up. And I've heard people say, wind is, it's variable, and it is variable. It's a variable source. And so sometimes, depending on conditions, you're going to get more, you're going to get less. And they say, well, it's not baseload, so it's no good. Nuclear power is baseload. Okay, well, baseload means it's going to just be pumping out a steady amount of electricity. And nuclear, in particular, can only be baseload. We know from Fukushima that you can't turn it off very easily. In fact, without electricity, if you're electric, it's ironic that the nuclear power plants are using electricity from the grid in order to operate themselves. And when Fukushima, when those reactors lost the electricity from the grid, they couldn't cool themselves. They couldn't even shut themselves down. And so they're hard to turn off. So they just operate at a very steady rate. And which means that, seeing as the you have peak loads and then you have troughs. And during the troughs, when electricity usage is at the lowest, if you've got more base load than that, you've got this excess base load. What are you going to do with it? You've got too much electricity going into the grid. And, there are a few technologies that can divert a little bit, like using excess electricity to pump water up a hill and then let the water flow down later on when you need more electricity. But there's not a whole lot of that on the grid. So the base load can only be like 30% or so of your capacity, which leaves you with and coal. Big coal plants are very similar. They're hard to fire up and to shut down. A lot of the gas is the most flexible, so you need a whole variety of things. And the wind, while it's intermittent, but also which is everything has its upsides and downsides. The intermittency, on the one hand, is less reliable because you're not exactly sure when the wind's going to be blowing. But on the other hand, it can be shut down very easily. So turned on to the extent that the wind's blowing, shut down very easily. And you need this capacity, this ability to shut down electricity production. So the whole thing was stupid. I've got another minute before the break, and then I'll start taking the callers. But with the environmental thing, I know there's this big push for renewable energy and also for nuclear because of global warming from carbon dioxide. And I think there is man-made environmental change. Let's just subsume the climate change into environmental change. We've got massive environmental change. And if you look around, you see it. If you fly, you fly over anywhere east of the Mississippi, you look down and you see hardly any forest. Everything's man-made, whether it's farms, which are man, they're aimed at producing food for man, cities, suburbs. We have completely remade the landscape. Our atmosphere on Earth is very much dependent on life. So anyway, we're coming up on the break real soon. But the problem I have is not that human activity, like human activity is obviously contributing to environmental change and the climate is part of the environment. But the thing is, what are you going to do about it? And really, where I break with the green people is that they don't, is that, like, when I say the green people, I mean the Green New Deal people, the congressional, the green industry people, is they really don't have a plan for doing anything. The main driver of all this is population, the population explosion. Are we at the break yet? I think we are. Should I just stop talking? Because I think we're at the break. Okay, I guess we're skipping the break then. So we had a climate emergency, and so we're skipping the break. But if without life on Earth, you wouldn't have free oxygen in the atmosphere, and we've got 19% or so oxygen in our atmosphere, and that's because of plant life, and that hasn't always, it hasn't been steady. Sometimes you have more, sometimes you have less, and it depends on things that are going on Earth. It also depends on things that are going on the sun. So it's not just all humans, it's not just all life, but if you look at the biosphere, if you look at life activities on planet Earth, over the past, decades and centuries, so much has been wrapped up in human activity. So you fly, it's good to fly, and you look down. And if you fly over the western United States, you might be flying over the Rockies or the Southwest Desert. You might not see a whole lot, but you fly over the eastern United States, or you fly over Europe, or you fly over East Asia or South Asia, and you look down. And the landscape you see has completely been remade by man. And so there's obviously a lot of man-made activities that's impacting the environment. And here's one more good example. You've heard of a rainforest, okay? So a rainforest has a rainforest climate. Now, what happens if you – what is a rainforest climate? Well, the rainforest climate is where you have rain, and it rains down onto the forest – and most of the water never reaches the ground. It stops as water droplets on leaves. And then it evaporates back into the air and forms new clouds, which go downwind, rain again onto another section of the forest. Most of the water remains in the canopy, doesn't get down to the ground, and it evaporates and forms new clouds. And you get this recycling of the rain. That's what a rainforest is. That's the definition of a rainforest. Mostly it's in the tropics. We've got a rainforest in the Pacific Northwest, a temperate rainforest. What happens, like, when you cut down a section of the rainforest, what happens is when the rain rains there's no canopy to stop it. It goes to the ground, it either sinks into the ground or it runs off into streams. And then downwind from that chopped down section of the rainforest, now they're not getting the rain they used to, and it transforms it. And the climate in the rainforest changes. So, on the one hand, like, if you look at this Green New Deal that from Ocasio-Cortez, and I read it, it's not very long. It's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous simply because of the unrealistic goals it sets, but it's the main. The main elements of the Green New Deal, it's not grounding all airplanes. It's transferring resources from predominantly white taxpayers to explicitly to predominantly non-white recipients. And the Green New Deal legislation defines vulnerable people, vulnerable and marginalized populations, which are immigrants, which are blacks, which are indigenous folks. And it sets aside not just jobs that are going to be created, but the leadership, the direction of this. So you don't have experts who are designing policies. You have people who are designing policies based on being from marginalized and vulnerable groups, trans folks. So, I mean, that's where it gets ridiculous. But does it, just because AOC is pushing a program that includes wind turbines, Does that mean that we have to reject wind turbines because she's for them? No. Okay. I'll stop ranting for a little bit and let's see. Who is my first caller? Let me see a second. I will take, oh gosh, do I have that many callers? Oh, no. Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Slattery.
Hi, Sherry. What's on your mind?
The problem with three-blade wind turbines is they're not very efficient. They have a real short, you know, window of efficiency, and what they tell you how efficient they are is not really what they turn out to be. And there is a gentleman, James McCanny, who's he's developed a much more efficient design, and he's going towards the market of like farmsteads that use a lot of ranches that use a lot of electricity, or you know, manufacturing places that are, have a good site to catch wind and stuff, or even small communities that want to do that. But his design, which is a whole lot different, it works at real low wind speed, and it'll work in high wind too. When these turbines, these three-bladed turbines, if the wind gets blowing too fast, like you would, I think, above 60 or something, I'm not sure what the high limit is, they have to shut them, break them, because they'll just... But even, and did you know if you have one of those put on your place, when they stop working and they decide not to fix them, they will not take them down. That eyesore is there. You know, there is no provision to have them taken down.
Regarding the designs, now, if you're talking about a design for something that's going to be on your own property, that's a completely different kettle of fish. If you're talking about utility, you know, like utility scale turbines, these turbines that are, you can't just put them anywhere. And so they're sited for steady, consistent wind. So you see them on the Great Plains away from buildings and forests, or you see them on, ridge tops in say like the Appalachian Mountains, and they'll be on the ridge top. And then the turbine itself is on a tower that's high enough to catch relatively steady winds. And that's a perfectly efficient design for those locations. But if you want something for your own property, because you're not going to have a 500-foot tower or 400-foot tower on your own property, you need something lower. The wind closer to the ground is more turbulent. And so the three-blade design isn't as efficient for, you know, for residential use. But I'm not talking about residential use. For residential use, they have these, like, there are these vertical turbines, which do much vertical, not horizontal, but like the wind, I don't know how to describe it. But
if you really look into it, I think you'll find they're not really as efficient.
Well, I mean, I spent years working adjacent to this industry, so I feel I've looked into it plenty. Solar too.
Solar loses about 10% efficiency each year.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You've got Toshiba has a solar cell that's been in constant production since the 1960s. Anyway, you can hang on. We'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back to the show. That's my favorite song. That is Thursday, but today is Tuesday, and we have Sherry from Kansas. So I interrupted you, Sherry. Go ahead and continue.
Well, it's my understanding that solar cells, you know, they do lose their capability. And the other problem with solar is that, you know, unless you have something that tracks the sun, which is another expense to it, they're, you know, the shadows, they're only going to be optimum at a certain part of the day and at a certain, you know. So that's a fact, you know, if you're going to use solar, integrate solar into your house design, you're better off doing some kind of passive solar and heat sink, build the material for a heat sink and
that's
stuff
all good.
Like that. But, you know, I have an idea before we let Congress pass that crap. I think we should put a little bicycle pedal deal at each seat in Congress with a little battery hooked up to it and make them pedal while they're there.
And actually be
and
useful for something?
And make them run the Capitol
for a change?
On that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my point, I'm not trying to say that either wind or solar are the be-all and end-all. Nothing is. Nothing is. Everything has its problems. Everything has its upsides and downsides. But what I tend to see, and it's not just in terms of energy, it's in terms of a lot of things, is when you get our opponents taking an issue or taking something and beating us over the heads with it, there's a which could be, it could be, you know, climate change, it could be you know, women, it can be anything, it can be so many things. And then there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction to just 180 degree opposition to whatever they say. Whatever they say is true, then we have to say it's false. And I don't think that's the way forward. I think just got to be intellectual. That's all.
Well, I've got one more question before I hang up. You know, with all this 5G and all these 5G antennas they want to put up, isn't that going to take more power?
Yeah.
Doesn't wireless take a lot more power than wired?
By definition, I mean, wired, you've got the signal going along that one dimension. It is one dimensional wire. Whereas when you're broadcasting signals, you're so much of it's just going out and never, and, you know, so much of the energy is going out and never encountering a receiver, for one thing.
Right.
And then when you're talking about 5G, 5G is a more energetic, shorter wavelength wave. It's a, you know, frequency, high frequency, and plus it, because it doesn't penetrate walls very well, you have to have more transmitters per you know, square mile. You have to have more. So yeah, it's definitely, I don't know how much in the big scope of things, I don't know how much energy it's going to take, but it certainly would take more energy than what we currently have.
Okay. I'll let somebody else talk to you. Thanks.
Hey, oh, thanks, Patrick, for your call.
Are you really 6'5"?
No, I'm not. But I could kick Tucker Carlson's ass. I'm a big pumped up white
man.
Well,
that's what I thought. See, I heard Jeremy say one night you were 6'5", and then I thought, well, if he's 6'5", he can kick Tucker Carlson.
No. I could totally kick his ass. Now Hannity, from what I understand, well, I mean, I know he packs a Roscoe, a giant Roscoe, and he will blow somebody's head off. I've seen him do it. He will blow their head off and then urinate on their corpse. I've seen him do it many times.
Hey, I'll talk to you later, maybe.
Okay, thanks for your call.
All right,
so we have Dave from New York. Dave, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, Patrick. Are you down in the cold Texas today or not?
Cold enough. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, yes. Well, I thought Jeremy said you were 6'2", but whatever he said. There's three things I want to talk about.
Some height inflation here and there, but that's okay. I'm taller than Engelbert Humperdinck or Engelbert Poindexter. That's all I can say.
Okay. First thing I want to talk about was I had talked to you a week ago, Monday or something, about, or Friday, about solutions for things you could take for COVID. The second thing I'd like to talk about is potential election interference due to the debate, and that's a very interesting question. And second, and thirdly, the bifurcation in the psyche and mentality of the population induced by things like the New York Times and et cetera, and RBN, you know, different mindsets.
Okay. And by the way, first I guess calling into, was it Mike Rivera's show, was calling into somebody's show and talking about the COVID treatments. And, you know, what you say is very, very reasonable. But the thing is, we are being, like, to the extent that we're being harmed by COVID, everything you're talking about with regards to treatments is very reasonable. But we are being brutally harmed by the lockdowns, not by the virus, but by the lockdowns, and that's what I've been concentrating on.
Oh, yes, I know you have, and we are being harmed by both, certainly. But one of the ideas was, if we minimize the virus by everybody taking things, and then the vaccine would not even be necessary, I think that could make a big change. But you would need, like, a large percentage of the population to do this, to actually totally deep six these guys, I would expect. Secondly, the second topic was the debate. Now, I don't know, you know, there's lots of strange videos out there claiming different things on the internet. and you're a political scientist, and you would be aware of this one maybe, that I looked and I saw a video talking about Joe Biden. And, you know, they're talking about the little thing in his ear that was giving him stuff. And there's some conspiracy theory about giving him, but they're focusing on his ear. And then I hear them talking about the ear and they say, look at his ear. And I looked at these pictures. His right ear, the one facing Trump, has an attached earlobe. This is a genetic trait. And it's kind of a little ugly. It's recessive. Attached earlobes, and his left ear facing away from Trump is a detached earlobe. Now, the Biden we know and love, so to speak, from Obama's times, when you look at photos back, both earlobes were detached. And so if they had a double doing that debate, if they did, and if this information is correct, that could also be you know, an influence on the whole election. But have you seen this this claim of
I have a friend who's talked about that very thing and talked about Putin. There's like three Putins, and you can tell them by their ears and this and that. And of course, you know, ears are very three-dimensional. And if you take a picture from one angle or with the lighting coming from a different angle because of the shape of the earlobe, they're going to look different. And the thing is, even if I were to take all this earlobe detached or non-detached at face value, you know, for thousands of years, we've had people who do impressions. I mean, this is something that people have been doing for a long, long time, impressions.
And
to get to nail an impression, I mean, Joe Biden is somebody who has been well known. I mean, you can find Saturday Night Live videos making fun of Joe Biden from the 1980s. And of course, he's been in the Senate since the 1970s. And you look at professional impersonators who, like, I guess Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live did Joe Biden. You're not going to nail somebody to the extent that you're going to be able to sit there in an hour or 2 hour debate alongside Donald Trump and other people and pass him off as Joe Biden if he's not the real Joe Biden. It would be much easier to surgically reconnect the earlobe just to freak people out.
That's a possibility. It's certainly a possibility. And it could be a makeup artist. So is this, are they giving us a hint here, or is this just something we should probably just ignore? I guess you're saying the latter. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea of having an ear, like I mentioned Hannity earlier, and from what I understand, and, you know, we know that these people on the news, they have earplugs, and sometimes they make reference to it. You know, Tucker Carlson will occasionally make reference to his producers saying something in his ear. So they wear these earpieces, and Sean Hannity has a reputation for, like, that's his big talent, is being able to hear somebody talking into his ear and then speak at the same time. And so he's able to utilize these with great efficiency, you know, to the extent Biden's able to do it. I think he probably does. I mean, we know we have from Hillary, we have her like giving a speech somewhere or an interview somewhere. And she said sigh, where she was probably instructed to sigh. But instead, she just said the word sigh. Right.
You remember that?
And then supposedly.
No, I remember
myself,
one of Biden. They said
on inauguration day, Joe Biden walked past the Marines and said, salute the Marines.
I know.
Saluting the Marines.
Well, and that could have been dubbed in, and nobody knows whether that really happened, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So the last point, I want to make just your comment on this situation. I ran into somebody who, it turns out, is highly dependent on the New York Times. Now, this person, as a genius-level person, they're very competent. They graduated 4.0 in math and computer science and work as a manager at a large computer company. Now,
yeah, geniuses can be some of the stupidest people you ever met.
So I am suggesting that, hey, there's a lot of evidence being put out there, being claimed of election fraud. And they said, so they send me an email with a New York Times article. And I looked at that article quickly. It's a nice long article. And I said, send me something with actually some evidence that was presented about the election fraud, you know? And then I went through the article and made 7 points. And one of the points was that it appeared to me there was a straw man argument, because I don't think Trump's team ever claimed that dead people, the number of dead people voting, would have flipped any state. And so there's one straw man argument in here and other garbage. And they came back. What do you think their response was in the next email?
I don't know.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Well, I got all these reviews of the New York Times, all these media people patting each other's backs, saying that the New York Times is a very highly trusted source.
Yeah.
And I said, and then I had a physical discussion with this person. When they had nothing and they had looked at nothing about this, they blew up. They couldn't take it. What's your comment? What can we do about these bifurcated mentalities?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing to do is there's been so much lying going on for decades. And if it's a New York Times reader, often the best thing to do is point out that, you know, because one thing that they'll agree was a lie was the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And who pushed that? That was Judith Miller and Michael Gordon of the New York Times. The New York Times was the one pushing it. So is it really so trusted? You know, but I mean, we got so many obvious hoaxes and lies going on all around us that there should be one for everyone. There's one that will match everybody's taste.
Well, what I'd like to see is the magic bullet, a list of a lot of times that the New York Times obviously lied. But, you know, this magic bullet will not even go through the armor of these people.
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't. That's the problem.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Right. The thing is, it takes a certain amount of work to do that. And they have all the resources. They have all these paid people and interns and big budgets. And we're doing stuff on our spare time. I mean, I know I could go back, and whether it's talking about the Rambouillet Accords that were the basis for us bombing Serbia, or, you know, obviously weapons of mass destruction, or President Ahmadinejad of Iran threatening to wipe Israel off the map. You could go just in the New York Times and point out that they reported the real news and then let all of their editorial writers lie about it with no consequence. So anyway, I got a couple more callers I got to get to.
Thank
but
you.
I appreciate your call.
Thanks.
Okay. And next we have True Bachelor in Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Tony Sundas, and I approve of True Bachelor's call. I endorse this phone call. That is all. And how are you doing, sir? Good to have you here.
I'm doing fine.
Sorry, that Barney was living in
like
left part of the attic up there.
Okay.
Are you doing okay, Dr. Slattery?
I'm doing fine. So you're not True Bachelor, but...
Yes, I am True Bachelor. That was Bernie Sanders. He lives in the attic right now, up on the left-hand side of it.
All right. So what's on your mind?
Well, I just stepped out into the global warming, 8 inches of global warming, and I'm 100 miles from the Oklahoma, Louisiana, Texas border. And it's got down to 9 below 0 this morning.
Yeah.
With 8 inches of snow, and we're expecting 6 to 10 tonight through tomorrow night. So the global warming is really great. It's 16 degrees right now, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Well,
9 below 0.
It would be.
And I'm talking about,
climate,
I'm in South Central Arkansas.
But I do think there's change. And if this is something that you're not used to, then it doesn't disprove that there's change. Although, you know, there's always going to be change. Some of it's man-made, some of it's not. But, you know, I remember as a kid looking under the refrigerator. I don't know if you ever had a gas-powered refrigerator. I had a gas-powered refrigerator.
And
under
and say, refrigerator.
Why is there a fire under the refrigerator? But, you know, you need energy to work a heat pump.
That is correct, sir. And solar won't work. But I mean, I'm not kidding you. This is West Central Arkansas, 9 below 0 this morning. And I've got 8 inches of snow and 6 to 10 on the way. But, you know, that tells you how much the global warming farce is.
Okay. Well, thank you for that information. Anything else you need to say before I move to the next caller?
No, sir. That'll be 12:50 for my call. You're lucky.
All right. Okay. Call collect next time. All right. Thanks. And next we go to Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Give me a call.
Dan. Hey, Dan.
Talk about the environmental movement and, you know, the kosher sandwich here, which is a great term that those guys developed, the kosher sandwich, the kosher dialectic, because we know who controls both sides. And some you said in the past, I think it was the Sierra Club, when they came out, and I remember this too, because we always gave money.
Hold on, Dan. Hold on, Dan. We'll get to you right after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, welcome back to the show. So, Dan, you know, I had come up years ago with this, you know, you have the Jewish elite agenda. And, you know, maybe there's more than one agenda, but some of it gets dished out to, say, the liberal Democrats. Some of it gets dished out to the Republicans. And then, you know, everybody gets to win on their section of the Jewish agenda. And then on the section that is their opponent's side, well, then they're designated losers. And I think that's really a much better, more accurate and useful conception than the kosher sandwich, which is just kind of vague. But anyway, I'm just toting my horn. So what about the Sierra Club?
Well, yeah, that's a great, yeah, it's good to define what it means, and there's different terms. But, well, you noticed, same time I did, like, in the late 80s, because America was, like, environmentalism is a great thing, and mm-hmm. I do believe in populations we have to do, you know, the problem is it stabbed white people in the back, because in the West, we started limiting our numbers intelligently, mm-hmm. and then third world, now they want open borders. But the Sierra Club, as you pointed out, was voted on to be against immigration to protect mm-hmm. the forests in America, and basically a Jewish donor gave billion, or what did he threaten to pull his funding from them, and
yes,
then they changed their policy,
and so, yeah, that's interesting to know. The new executive director.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably almost say past that point, the environmental movement has been more about scamming people. Like, I think, like, George Bush passed the Clean Air Act, and I think that was a good thing. Like, diesel fuel is less polluting now. And but since then, they've really just turned it into a money-making scheme. And like, they prop up Cortez to be anti-white and bring in all this anti-white just nonsense into it,
mm-hmm.
And not really focus on anything real. So then I'd say on the other end,
that's exactly my understanding. That's right.
Yep. And I'm increasingly seeing the libertarian movement as the other side of the kosher sandwich, where they say any kind of government action or any kind of regulation is bad. And that's, you know, almost just as destructive. So those are the two extremes that I see.
And I was never as involved with libertarians as I was with environmentalists, but I would tend to agree with that, too.
Yeah, I think they're dead on the Federal Reserve, but I don't think they're ever going to get that Federal Reserve audited, or I think they just hold that out. And then in the meantime, they want you to dismantle everything good, you know, and then the hopes that you're going to get the Federal Reserve audited or something like that. It's just not going to work out that way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe if the kosher sandwich idea was spelled out a little better, and maybe it has been spelled out better, and I've just missed it. But, you know, you get these prepackaged bullet point agendas that are prepackaged, and so if you're going to be for this, then these are the other things you got to be for, and
exactly.
You know, this, and so people wind up not being able to think for themselves, because I guess that kind of ties together what I was saying at the beginning of the show. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she says a bunch of ridiculous stuff, and therefore everything that she says that we've got to be against.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, have a good day.
Thanks, Dan. It's always great when you call. Okay, and stay tuned to more great shows on RBN. And tonight I'll be on Jeremy's show, and we do our Patrick and Jeremy duo tonight, and again tomorrow in the afternoon.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.